Okay, so let's see. So we're timing out on executive at 6:34.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to make that motion?
Well, we don't have. We can't make a motion until we get back into open. Well, you have to, you go to another location, right?
We need to make a motion to to go back into open meeting.
Yeah, we're all here. We're back.
Okay. So I'd like to make a motion to go back into open session at 6:34.
Second that.
All right.
Lisa second.
Lisa got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Lisa second. Okay.
Aye.
Okay. So.
I'll make the motion on
all
this.
All right.
Okay.
Where is the. Is it G?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I would like to make a motion to approve the 6 salaried employees with one change to employee E5, changing the evaluation from 1,000 to 1,500.
I second that motion.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. And? Okay, we're to the two discussionary topics. Okay.
The hot topics.
The hot topics. All right. So, Mr. Olmos and I had a discussion about how we should list these, and I explained to him why I put them under action items. I put them under action items, even though we're not voting this time. It's a first reading and a discussion, because we need to show proof that we had them on our agenda and that we did discuss them. And so that's why I always list them there. If you guys would rather, we can double check with ASBA. I have always listed the first readings under action, even though we don't take an action, which kind of sounds weird. But that's just for the purpose of tracking. So if anybody wants to say that you did not follow the guidelines, all you have to do is go back, pull the agenda and the minutes, and show that you did. That's why I do it that way.
Oh, so that's why it doesn't really say action. And so typically what I've always said is that, like, presentation, discussion, first reading of regulation, blah, blah, blah.
Right. So I can take
either way,
where no vote.
You're good to go.
Yeah. I could just put where it says presentation, discussion, and first reading of. I just put no vote so that everybody knew that we weren't voting on it. I just tried to, and that maybe muddied the waters more than it cleared it up.
Okay.
So you guys let me know what you prefer, and we can do it either way. I guess the important thing is to talk about these two things, and then you tell me how you want me to list it, and we'll get it listed that way. The J1, J-I-C-A-R, which is a regulation, is our student dress code regulation. And this past year, we allowed kids to wear jeans and... you know, we were pretty lax because we had enough phone calls from parents who were concerned because they bought clothes for the summer or in the summer, and now clothes were already getting small, and they just didn't have the extra funds, or they didn't have funds in the first place to go and purchase them. So, you know, we allowed the kids to wear jeans and things like that. What I would like to do is I would like to tweak our dress code, but not change it holistically. Really, I would really like to just basically teach or to change it where a couple of things. First of all, skirts and shorts need to be 2 inches or below to the knees. So 2 inches above the knees or below. I don't want to get into the Daisy Duke thing and the fingertip is not legal. Okay, there are schools that still use it. They have never been challenged in the courts. If it goes to the courts, it's illegal. It's already been found illegal in, I think, about 8 or 10 states. In Minnesota, Illinois, I believe Tennessee, and there's some other states. So I don't think hanging our hat on that fingertip rule is a good idea. So if we say 2 inches above the knees, yes, some people's knees are high or some people's knees are lower, but that's a decent measuring stick. It's also modest if you have shorts that are 2 inches above your knees, if you can even find them anymore. As long as the butts aren't hanging out, to get them to 2 inches below the knees, which might be a problem with boys, not the girls. So I would like to put that in there for clarification. And then the other thing is I would like to put in there that we will allow jeans that do not have holes in them to be worn in place of khaki pants to help with the financial burdens we see in our community. Okay.
Instead of where it says in place of khaki pants, can you change it to where it says as? I mean, are you going away with khaki pants?
No, we're still going to allow them to wear khaki pants. So blue jeans.
So you can allow either jeans.
That's why I wanted to have a discussion on how we want to word it.
Yeah, because where it says in place of, it's like replacing khaki pants.
So we need to have and or.
We allow jeans that do not have holes in them to be worn to school.
Along with
khaki pants or blue or navy blue pants or you know whatever or something like that, not in place.
Well, you should have like the choice of the options are one khaki pants.
We will allow jeans that do not have holes in them, as well as navy blue or khaki pants.
Right. Perfect. And when you go to the boys and girls, they kind of have some of that separated out.
We're going to keep the polo shirt, correct?
Yeah, we're keeping the polo shirt.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm good with that. I think you're right. Some people's fingertips, and when I was in high school, I grew up in the, you know, miniskirt era. Some people had longer arms. So if you're saying 2 inches above the knee, 2 inches below the knee, or nothing higher than their fingertips, I think that's perfect. And who's going to be enforcing it? I found that some of the teachers don't enforce anything. So are you going to let them know that, you know, they kind of have to be on task with this?
We'll go through that with the teachers before school starts. It'll be me that has to enforce it. And ultimately, honestly, that's why I would like to have it say 2 inches above the knees, because it's a lot easier for a male to enforce that because you have a ruler and there's the knee. It's very easy. All the other things you said, especially if it's males having to do it with females, you set things up for not as good outcome or rationale of why you're doing something. I think it's got.
What about the boys? We don't have boys that have their pants under their buttocks, do we?
No, I haven't seen that. Our boys are pretty good about wearing belts. I mean, I only had to tell a couple of boys this year. I had one, and I told him if he didn't get his keep his pants shorts up, or it was his pants, I had a long shoestring that I could tie around him.
That's just as offensive as somebody, you know.
That's actually the worst. You should see some of the shorts they wear underneath those.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of good, to tell you the truth, my girls were in school when this was initiated, and I was kind of relieved in a way, but I have to say that they said that they sent out surveys to every single parent. That wasn't true, and not everybody did not know that their survey had even gone out. It was kind of rigged, and that is a fact. And so I think that it's ran its course. I really did like that part of it whenever they were all kind of dressed the same, because we knew who they were on field trips. You couldn't lose kids. But I think if we retain the polo shirt as a good happy medium, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
So
I like the polo
shirt. We can work out the language then before our next meeting and the second reading.
Actually, what I'll do is I'll send it up. I'll fine-tune it, and then I'm going to send it up to Jessica, the attorney, and make sure that she goes back through it and makes sure it's all clean.
I don't know what you guys think about this, but I would like to see.
You're not gonna see anything because you're leaving.
Getting rid of for the shirt to say it's white, red, or navy blue. Can we just
say a polo shirt?
Yeah, and then let it be whatever color they want. You already stated at the very top, all attire must be plain without insignia,
right,
other than the school's logo. So I think any
you
color.
You guys don't want to stay with red, white, or blue?
No.
Oh.
No, because it's not because I'm, I don't want to make it sound like I'm not patriotic, but some parents have difficulties. I know, if I can speak for myself, going to the store and finding those colors.
Where if you open it up to things, if it's a polo shirt.
You know what? That's true, because by the end of eighth grade, by the middle of eighth grade, I had to go to the men's section with Enrique, and I mean, literally, it's kind of hard. It is kind of hard to
find. But I can tell you this, because I had three girls, and you could go get a girl's polo shirt, it was $10. You go to the boys' section, and they were, like, cheaper. Yeah. The boys' polos are cheaper. So, but whatever you guys think, I kind of like sticking the red, white, and blue, because I am patriotic.
I like the red, white, and blue, but I do understand that it does get hard to find all those three same colors.
Well, what I could say is we would prefer you to go with red, white, and blue polos, but if you have a nice polo of any color, as long as there's no insignia.
When you're kind of getting into the Gucci thing and emblems and bling
right.
and all that
stay
stuff.
Away from all the emblems.
Do you think they'll take advantage of it if we say any color polo shirt?
I don't think so. I think
I don't think it'll be too big a deal.
No.
Are you both of your other board members? Are you in agreement?
Just a plain one, a plain color shirt, no stripes, no anything.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Solid color. Solid color shirt. Okay.
What about button shirts? Can we add that in?
No. That's too much already.
Well, a polo has a button shirt, but a button-down shirt, long-sleeve shirt, is to hold their animal.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. The only problem is with the button-down shirts, now girls are going to want to wear them and we're going to
unbutton
those babies, and they're here now, but at the end of second hour, they're here, and at noon hour, they're here.
They have their tank tops underneath, and the button shirt open and stuff like that. I would keep it with just.
I think the polo, allowing them to have any color.
They can wear a long sleeve shirt over it in the winter anyway.
A solid polo color.
We're opening up the pants to jeans of any color as long as you don't have holes in them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's opening it up. If you go to Walmart or a store like Walmart and just get a regular pair of jeans, okay? They're not that terribly expensive. Now, if you go and you get those girl ones that have 48 holes burned into them, those are $75. You could get eight pair of jeans for that $75 if you just go.
What do you think if you go looking for cargo pants or tan khaki pants at Dillard's? You're not going to get them cheap either. You know,
they're not
$40. So I was had to, you know, it was.
I like
they
that.
They had their school clothes, and then they had their other clothes, you know. So I liked it. They didn't
I like
their
idea.
Other clothes.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll work on this. I'm going to send it to Jessica, have her make sure that we're doing what we're trying to do, and then I'll bring it back. I'll send it to you guys, then I'll bring it back to the next meeting.
No. Okay. Hoodies.
Hoodies they're not wearing in school. They can wear them to school. Mm-hmm. They're not wearing them in class. That this year we allowed the kids to have sweatshirts and whatever, mm-hmm. and some of the kids had hoodies, and I was walking in and out of classrooms telling kids to get their hoods up.
Well, I understand that if we have teachers that allow, so if boys are allowed to wear caps and hoods on in classroom, I understood. I don't think that's really appropriate. That's just in my own school. What do you guys think? Am I old?
Walking in, taking hats and things. So, I mean, we had hats in the office all the time that they had to come and get, or their parents had to come and get if it was the second time.
Yeah, I think this is something we need to address in our policy then, because the kids are wearing hoods in class, they're wearing caps in class, and it's about respect, and I'm sorry, but I do think that a kid should have to remove his hat, his cap, his hood if he's in a classroom.
I think we should, if it's not already in here, I don't remember seeing it, hats are strictly prohibited.
I thought we had it around here, didn't we?
They can wear them to school. They're supposed to take them off when they get to school.
Mm-hmm. And they don't.
Not all of them follow the
rules. And they're wearing, I understand they're wearing them in the classroom.
Yeah, some of them good, but then there's the other ones. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you put no hats in school? Can you do that? No baseball hats in school?
Well, you could, but, I mean, they
I think it's a safety issue and a security issue too,
The idea is they shouldn't be wearing them. So if they're in the elementary, they should be putting them in their desk or in their cubby or whatever it is each elementary room has.
Well, I actually had a phone call wanting to tell me why boys were wearing caps and hoods in classrooms. And so that's why I just thought I'd bring it up.
That's not incorrect. There were plenty of children who got to come and visit me because they wanted to retrieve their hats.
Oh, good. Well, be sure to let the teachers know that this isn't, you know, they need to learn. You can't do that, really, in the workplace or anything else, you know, so.
Well, that goes along with when a kid gets sent to me at 2 o'clock for being inappropriately dressed. Weren't they inappropriately dressed all day? They went to 5 teachers, and the 6th teacher caught them. I mean, come on. But, you know, so. All right, so we'll fix that, and I made a note of that as well, the hoodies and the hats. And then if we can move on to letter I for our discussion about early enrollment into kindergarten. And if you could read that, what we have not had is anything that's solid. The first year I came, and since that time we have not had anyone that has asked. Last year we had no one. This year we have 2 students who have asked, or parents who have asked. Okay.
Didn't we have one last year?
No, nobody this last year. 2 years ago, you had one that was allowed, and then when I came, there was another one that was tested by the same teacher.
But didn't pass.
Academically, wasn't ready to go, but the teacher thought that they should be allowed to go to the school.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that at that age, there's no funds that come in. So what we do know is that the following year, we will get funds. But the first year, there is no funding that follows anyone that's not 5 as of September 1st.
But do they get the funds if their birthday is before October 1st?
Before September 1st. But the second year before October 1st, yes.
But here's the thing, you guys, you have to think about. Yes. Is number one, the majority of our kids don't come in speaking English, so that's a disadvantage. If you make, I think you guys are on the board and we went through this before. If you make a concession for one kid, then the next guy's, well, you let him in. He was only 3 days away from the deadline. My kid's only 4 days away from the deadline. So where do you want to draw the line? I think we need to stick to the rule, personally. I know they can be tested, but I also know if you get children that are very immature, we end up with kids that weren't potty trained. I mean, it's not consistent if we start making allowances. I think we should stick to the rule, personally. And then you get another teacher that says, oh, well, I know this person, so I think even though he didn't test out, we should go ahead and let him in. If this shouldn't come into your feelings about somebody and knowledge of the person or whatever should not have anything to do with it, you know. And it does affect the other kids whenever you have somebody that's really needy because they're very immature. And don't get me wrong, the boys are definitely a lot harder to, if you bring them in too young and they're not prepared, it's hard to, they just mature slower from what they say, you know, boys, when they're little.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather stick to the rule, but I, again, what do you guys think? The rules were there for a reason. I just don't like making concessions for people because they want an all-day daycare, you know?
I thought that that as long as their birthday was before October 1st, then the school will get the funding.
Is it September
1st now?
September 1st for funding for 5-year-olds for kindergarten.
Now, what if it's September 1st? They have to be 5 by September 1st?
For funding for kindergarten, it is 5, yes, at September 1st.
Are you guys in agreement with that, or where do you stand? Do you think we should make concessions? I want to know how you guys feel about it.
The only thing I was going to say is if you can go with the straight cutoff that says no, but if you aren't going to go with the straight cutoff, that was why I put this protocol together. Because 2 years ago we had one student we allowed and one student we didn't. And there wasn't a real clear anything. We didn't use a national normed test. We just had some worksheets put together by one teacher, and she said yes, the student was enrolled. And then when I came, we had another student, and when I looked at the way that the test was done, a student did not know ABCs, did not know colors, did not know shapes, really didn't know numbers. Would it have benefited the student to be in kindergarten? Probably, because they weren't an English speaker. But when there's no funding that goes with that, now you're taking the time and the funding away from other kids to put this. So if you do this, you have to tie some funding to it. So that's why I put that proposal together for you to look at.
Tim, you know what? I would like for the board to know. I think we need an updated number as to how much it costs for us to educate one child for the year. And I know it used to be like $8,000 to $9,000 per child. Could you look into that for us?
Yeah, we'll look at that tomorrow. We'll add that to our list for tomorrow. I can tell you that the aid that we get for a kindergarten student is just under $3,000. It's between $2,900 and $3,000.
Okay.
So how much will the parents have to pay?
Well, on the proposal that I put together for you, which included having a testing group of students to go through, or a testing group of teachers to go through with each student, and a majority of them would need to say that that student was ready or not. What I put together was that we needed to know, and that number will change every year, because as state funding goes up, the number, the cost for what we get in elementary will go up. So what I put in there was that we should take the number, and that should be the number, I think, that we would charge anyone who wanted a student to enter early. If they were not on a free and reduced program, if they were on a reduced program, I would suggest that you lower that number by $100. And if they were in a free program, I would suggest you lower that first number by $200. And I know that those numbers are high, but I also know that if we have anything that's a very small amount and you start getting a whole bunch of kids that want to come in, now you take kindergarten classes from 12 to 15 to 17 to 19, and those numbers...
If the parent has to start paying for them to come in, once you say that, well, okay, we'll look into it, but there might be fees that you're going to be responsible for paying if you want your child to come early, that's the end of it. You're not going to see them back in until next year when their kids
unless
are ready.
Unless the parents are very serious
and
about
is that a bad thing, though?
Not a knuckle.
Right. But I'm just saying, I think that you put that in your regulation, and then if they're serious and they truly, that's what they want, and their student is ready, then this is what it costs. Say it's $3,000, $2,900, $2,800, or $2,900, $2,800, $2,700, whatever it is, and then you have the option to pay it monthly, quarterly, or yearly.
Yeah.
So how do you guys feel about that?
I think it's a good idea. If we're not getting funding from them, but if we're not getting funding for those children, we have to get it from somewhere.
That's
right. I agree. The other thing, you guys, is I want you guys to think about is that what I have always said when parents approach me about, well, I want you to back me up and my kid coming in early, I said, you know what? The fact is, this is the date. I'm sticking to the date because that's what the rules are, what I'm supposed to go by as a board member. I can't alter that. And so here's what I tell him is that if he's too young, I suggest you get him in the Head Start. Mm-hmm. Head Start is a great program. It's not going to cost you a thing. And I guarantee you when they are old enough to get into kindergarten, they're going to thrive because they are more prepared. They've been socialized better. They've been exposed to working, being in a classroom. And so if anybody does approach you, I would suggest you consider that because it's a great option. They have busing, all that stuff. You know. So what do you guys think of that option? Recommendation if they don't want us to modify our plan. I just don't like making exceptions, I guess is what it is.
I think we should make it so that establish a certain amount of days past the first day of school, such as maybe 30 days, 45 days, 60 days. But, no more than 60, probably.
Wait, are you talking about saying that you're not turning 5 for 60 days after the deadline?
Well, 60 days is kind of a little too much, in my opinion, but I think what I'm saying is establish an amount of days.
That after those days, no more students, or what?
No. So you get the first day of school, so let's say it's going to be, August 15th, right? Mm-hmm. So from August 15th, and then any kid that's going to be turning 5 within 30 days of August 15th will qualify for this program, right? Or make it 45 days if
that's
you want,
the point,
or 60 days if you want.
That's not what the policy says, though, you guys.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
30 days or
but isn't
the
it September
1st? Is recommended by the state.
50 after September 1st? Isn't that you have to be 5 by September 1st?
By September 1st?
By the state policy, it's 5 by September 1st to qualify.
Okay,
then how about...
I see what you mean. Okay,
Any kid is going to turn 5 during the month of September.
But then they're not going to get funding for it. That's what the point
But that's when we bring in the
that's when we put this regulation.
Okay, we don't get funding for your child because he turned or she turned 5 after September 1st. So you'll be responsible to paying these fees throughout the school year, right?
Well, that I'm okay with, but we have to have the funding. You know,
right.
We can't. Who's going to make them pay it?
Yeah,
if they don't pay it, then what? You know?
That's why I think if you take a look at what I put in front of you as an option, and I'm fine with it. If you say it's 5 by September 1st, because honestly, I don't care what number anybody picks out of the air. There are kids that are ready early, and there are kids that are never going to be ready on that day, and they could have been born in April. Okay.
That's right.
I mean, that's just being honest. If you sat down with 50 kindergarten teachers and you said, if a kid's born in June, are they going to be ready for kindergarten? I would venture to guess most of them are going to tell you, no.
Right. You're right.
But there are kids that might be. And so, just last week they had that 12-year-old kid who's graduating from high school and college.
Right.
You know, well, obviously he was probably ready when he was 2. I mean, I don't know, but, I mean, so if you have it where you just say that's the cutoff and we're not doing anything with it, or else you have to have another plan, what I don't want to do is be opened up to a lawsuit because 2 years ago you let my nephew in, and now I want to do it, and you're telling me, no, I can't. Well, we have this then. Here's the protocol that we're going to follow. That's why I put it together. This is your decision, and obviously we're not even voting tonight, but whatever we come up with as a board, you come up, I say we, but it's you guys, whatever you decide is the policy or the regulation is what we will use, but we want to have something in place so that takes all the question marks out of it.
So $3,000, roughly around $3,000, that's what the parents will have to pay?
I said right now I believe it's $2,900 unless it increases. Last year the amount would have been $2,900. So it would be about $3,000. And, I mean, when you think about it, it's a half a day. That's expensive.
But so that's why kindergartners doesn't cost as much to educate them because they're not there all day.
Yes.
That's the difference. Oh, see, gotcha.
Right. That's okay. All that we get reimbursed. We can have all day kindergarten. But 2 years ago, that was a train wreck. And both kindergarten teachers came to me and said, we need to do something with this, you know, because one of my kindergarten teachers had 3 kids under the table crying until December. And the other one, the room wasn't a whole lot better. So we decided, because over half of her class was in my office every afternoon. It was like a waiting list. And these chairs were always filled up with kindergartners. And so we had to do something different. And that's when we talked about the 4-hour days or 3.5-hour days and all that. And so we went back to what the state mandates that we give, and that's considered a half a day. And so we give more hours than the state mandates by a good cushion. But when you think about it, $2,900, $3,000, whatever that dollar amount is, that's quite a good chunk of change. So if you're not serious, you're not going to pay $3,000.
Yeah.
If you have a child that's ready and you want them in it and it's important to you, you know, if you can find a way to afford it, great. But that's not an amount that everybody's just going to throw out there. That's going to throw a lot of cold water on people wanting to put their kids in school early if they're not ready.
And so if we do that, though, we're not going to be making concessions for people, right?
There's no scholarship because there is no scholarship money. We're a public school. We have no money sitting here. Right. We have no money sitting here. The only way it's a scholarship is there's a $100 deferment for the free and reduced part. And you would not have to offer that. You guys could say this is the set amount for any student who wants to come in.
I think we have to have some boundaries for sure. So I think that's great. A good discussion.
I disagree with making the parents have to pay that amount of money.
Well, who's going to pay it? If we don't get funded for it, who's supposed to pay it?
We're here for the kids, not for the money.
No, but we are board members because we have to follow the law. That is the law. And you're a law enforcement officer. We can't pick and choose which laws we choose to obey. I mean, we're here to defend the taxpayer.
As law enforcement, there's things such as letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. When you have a kid that was born in September and is just a couple days past September 1st, I'm talking about not even a week, you're not going to let that kid come to school?
So is it okay if the drinking age is 21? Well, if you're going to be 21 in 3 days, is the law say that you can drink 3 days before you're 21?
I can tell you that as a law enforcement officer, would I arrest as that individual for drinking underage? Yeah, no. I'm not gonna do that because that's where the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law comes into play.
We're here to obey the law of the board, the state has recommended for us to enforce. You know, and so I think we're going to have this discussion later. We're not going to resolve this right now, obviously.
We're discussing it. The other thing that I don't agree with is the tiebreakers. The special needs may play a role if included in an IEP. I think we should get rid of that because we don't want to get into a situation that we're discriminating.
That's what we're talking about right now. That's not the topic. That is not the agenda item we're discussing. So we're off the agenda.
It is.
No, actually, it's under letter H on the very end of the early enrollment done.
So we're not talking about the kindergarten thing right now.
Yeah, we are. It's under letter H of letter I on the agenda, on that sheet, the early enrollment sheet. So if you go to Roman numeral 4 under letter H, it says special needs may play a role. Here's what we have going on. If we have a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, and they have an IEP coming in, they're in that IEP, it may state that they need to have X number of hours in the classroom, even if they're not completely ready to be a full-time kindergartner. Our options as a district last year, we drove a student all the way to Palominas for school, paid for their schooling, and drove them back again because we didn't have the ability to put them in a classroom. So with that, that's just following a law that as an IEP student, they would be able to do those number of hours here versus us paying to drive them to Palominas, be enrolled in a program we have to pay for, and then go pick them up and drive them back. So we actually are paying a driver for almost 4 hours a day plus a kid's education.
So that's the intent
behind that. That's what that letter 4 means. Mm-hmm. We can take it out, but we have to follow an IEP. So it would give us the option to cover that without having that added cost. That's why it's there. That's covering our butts on that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be listed because we have to follow it anyway. We would have to offer that.
I still think that we should probably take it away, in my opinion, because if we're going to allow a student to come attend school as a kindergartner and he qualifies for that program, then we should treat him the same as any other student.
Okay. We can take it out of there. It's going to fall in there just because the IEP will have the precedent, but that's fine.
It doesn't necessarily
have to be listed there.
If it's September 1st, I'm sorry, you were born September 2nd, you're not allowed.
That's what the rule says. That's what the law says. That's what we're supposed to enforce.
That's my thing, but...
This is our first reading, right?
Right.
When's your kid's birthday? That's why you're arguing, huh?
September
6th.
Yes, the date is September 1st. And so, I understand. Is this called a conflict of interest, people?
No, it's not a conflict of interest. It's more of a being in a different view?
Do I have a bias? Yeah, definitely. I do have a bias. I'll say that. But I'm speaking in general about all of the kids.
Okay, and so I'm asking, do you have a personal? Is this applying to you? I'm just asking.
I just said that. I just told you that this. I'm talking about in general all of the kids. I mean, I thought I made that pretty clear.
Are we proceeding?
Well, I'm just wondering as far as if there's something that the board would like for me to put some different things together, or I just want to make sure that I know when I leave the meeting what I have a general highway sign to tell me which.
See, and that, my thing is like, okay, so I mean, I do understand. I'm pretty sure your daughter or son is, I mean, the way you are, dude, I think my kids would be in college by the age of 5 already. I was married to you. But they're not, okay? But my thing is, like, I'm pretty sure your kid is ready to come to school, attend kindergarten. But then we have all these other little kids that they are not ready. And I'm sorry to say it, but as a Mexican mother living on the border all my life, I tell you, kids are not ready to come, especially when they're coming from NACO. Now, a parent will not pay any amount out of their pocket to have their kids come to a public school. And the reason why is because either they don't have the income, they don't have anything like that, and they will not do it. Why? Because, again, Hispanics want everything for free.
Well,
you will do it. Why? Because no, I'm saying you will do it, but it's because you were the way you were raised, the way you were coming. But technically, people here in NACO, they will not pay it.
You'll be surprised. I think that there will be some individuals, some parents that have the finances to be able to pay that amount of money.
And then they're going to be like, well, why? Can't you give us a discount? Isn't there a grant? Isn't there this? Isn't there? They're going to be digging and digging and digging.
There has to be sponsorship. There has to be somebody paying and not the taxpayer. You know? That is one of the reasons I got on the school board, because people were approaching me. They were tired of paying for kids' education when we weren't getting reimbursed by the property tax or anything else. They don't have kids in the system. They don't have grandkids in the system. If somebody else wants to sponsor that child and pay it, that's fine. But the taxpayers, they're elderly in NACO.
When they say limit, again, back to September 1st, that's a state rule?
The state regulation is that you, because then you can't claim any funding.
Okay,
so
but
if they are not 5 as of September 1st, so at midnight, at 11:59 p.m., they are born, okay, they are okay. But if they are not 5 by September 1st,
There's no funding for the school. However, the school can make or can say, so we'll make our regulations September 15th, that's the last day of the birthdays. The school can do that?
Yeah. School could set that and set, but then they would also, the problem that you have, or the biggest concern, if you had a classroom and you had an open seat, it's not an issue. But as soon as you open this, if you do this, I'm afraid that you would have 2, 3, or 4 kids that may want that to happen. And if there's no cost and there's nothing, they don't have a buy into it, then all of a sudden now we overflow a classroom. And then that's not fair to kids who should have been there. So if there's a cost to it, I think if it's like anything else. If you have a little buy-in, like, you're going to take your son out and he got his driver's license, you're going to go get his first car. But you need to pay the insurance on it, and you're going to kick in $400 or $500. So you have some buy-in, so I know you're going to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, if there's no buy-in and it's just free, I can see where we would have an overflow. Say it's only 4 or 5 kids. But remember, 2 years ago, we had 42 kindergartners.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing full days. So we had 21 kids in each classroom. You know, that's one of the reasons why we wanted, another one of the reasons we went to those half days, so we can get our kindergarten classrooms down to in that 10 to 12 range, hopefully, so that we have, you know, better educational moments and more one-on-one time.
Well, that's why you put in here the tiebreakers, and well, I think one of the stipulations on here that you mentioned, I'm not sure if it's on here, but there has to be an open seat. There has to be an open seat in order for that child to qualify. Otherwise, you won't qualify.
I didn't even put that on there, and
I remember reading it somewhere.
Well, I know when I talked about it, I said that I don't know if it's.
See, we can change our policy to say that it could be however many days after the fact. However, the state's recommendation is that we have our kids only register for kindergarten as of September 1st. If they're not, it doesn't matter, because that is recommended by the state. We won't be getting the funding for it from the state, period.
Right. I mean, I'll end it with this. Is you know, when we became board members, you got to ask yourself, did we become board members because of the money? Because none of us are getting paid here. Or are we board members?
What? You mean I'm not getting a check?
No. Are we board members because we're here to represent kids?
Yes, we're here to represent the kids. But you also have to keep it in mind that if we haven't been doing this, why all of a sudden we're starting to charge? That's another thing that's going to come up. But why are you charging this year? Why come you didn't charge last year? How come we didn't charge 2 years ago?
The only thing I would say, the answer there, if you decide to do that and you open this up and you put an amount on there, as of this board meeting, this is the new policy, this is what will be followed, and there are no scholarships. If you go that route. If you just stick with it and you just say September 1st and nothing after that, okay, that's easy to back up with the state, but you have, in previous years, had students that came. I'm just saying, if you want to have something,
and
we're going to allow it and not allow it, you to cover our butts, we should have something. Whether it's this or we change it, but we should have something to protect us. Because, and I do, I have to find where it says an open seat, because we need to have that.
And it's 1 year. One school year, you know, but the following year they're going to meet the age and the school's going to get funding for that year. What else did I want to say?
And they're more mature the next year, you know, so they're more prepared. They're less likely to be held back because they're not so young, you know. It's harder on them when they're too young.
Let me ask this, Mr. Macklin. Is it mandatory for kids to attend kindergarten?
No, kindergarten is not mandatory.
So if a child that does not qualify because he has a birthday of September 2nd, right, and he has to wait until the following year, he can automatically come into first grade.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, because I think they have to be 6 after first, but they do not have to go to kindergarten. I have to look that up.
So can a parent that's in that situation request that his child go to first grade, because it's not mandatory to go into kindergarten, and he's only a few days away?
That would all be under the statute.
And that is another thing that you might want to consider when you're making this vote, because you may have that one parent or parents that is going to play that.
The easiest way to avoid it is just leave it at September 1st.
But see, the thing is what are you saying, though? If they're coming in the first grade and not go to school, they're obviously old enough to be in first grade. So I don't understand the argument, really.
Well, I think the point is, if they were born on, say they're born on September 2nd, all right, and so they don't go to kindergarten, but the following year, because they will be 6 before the October deadline, I have to check that's where I have to look it up to see what they say. But they do not have to go to kindergarten to enter first grade, but I the way I
understand it. What if they came out of district and you don't know if they, and they're coming to our school, wherever they were at before, they could come to our school, be old enough to go into the first grade and still start the first grade.
It doesn't matter where they were at before because kindergarten is not mandatory.
Right. In Arizona, it's not mandatory. It isn't.
So there is no prerequisite to attend first grade.
But the only question would be on the statute is when do they have to be six? Mm-hmm. So I have to look that up.
Right. Okay.
I'll look that up and I'll shoot out an email. I'll try to have that to you guys tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. So I'm as clear as mud, but I'll work on it, and I'll try to get some options to you guys. I'll let you know what we find out. Donna's got a couple things to look up also. The superintendent report, goodness gracious, you know, we've been doing everything with that. I really only have two things to talk about. One, the parent survey that I included for you guys. We had to do a parent survey for the ESSER funding. And if you look through and look at the parent surveys, almost every parent except one, I think there were 16 or 17 surveys, all said that they wanted us to keep the free meal program. And we can't give away free meals. We are averaging between 20 and 30 lunches, free meals a day. We can't get people to come and get them.
That's another thing, too. You know, we're going to charge somebody for to attend kindergarten, but we got some parents here that don't qualify for the free and reduced lunch.
Well, that's my hope is that the USDA will still allow us to have one more year for free lunches for everybody. But that's right now it's set to expire July or June.
We're talking about taxpayers, but yet, you know, this frustrates me. I drive down the road and I see the fire chief washing his own personal vehicles. So who's paying for that water?
Not the water.
Well, why doesn't anybody go and raise hell to whoever, to the fire chief, because they're wasting Naco water and they're not paying for it. And he's
maybe you should bring that up. That's actually, you know, something to consider.
Nobody has come to me as a board member, ever since I've been a board member, to complain about tax issues, right? But apparently they're going to Don for these issues. But I see...
I get the complaints in the office. I mean, I'll get those calls in the office where it's like, why am I paying taxes in NACO or any school? Why am I paying taxes to a school that my kid does not attend? I don't have any kids. I never had kids. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing that? It's the same. I mean, we get those complaints, but we get them enough. I get them in the office. I don't get them personally.
Those type of tax situations. What they should be complaining about is stuff like the fire department, the waste management here, the way that is handled. Why isn't anybody complaining over there?
Well, I think there were people, because I think it wasn't that one of the boards that they couldn't get people to serve on. When I first came, there was one.
That was the sewer.
Oh, the sewer.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
The sewer.
There were so many complaints they couldn't get anybody.
Yeah, but
they just got it.
For a whole year worth of sewer service, and I didn't get a receipt like I was told to, right? I was getting extra fees because I wouldn't pay my bill on time by the deadline, right? So I get an extra fee. So, you know, where is that money going to? You know, so why are people coming to Don's and complaining about taxes, right?
Why do you hang up on that?
It's mostly elderly people because they don't have anybody in the system. And do you not believe me? Why have you brought that up repeatedly?
I mean, what they should really be concerned about is, the important thing here is making sure that our children have an education.
But see, these older people are having a hard time making ends meet. They're on fixed incomes, and I know you don't understand that, but, I mean, I understand they don't have kids in the system, and nobody, half the people in our school don't pay property taxes.
you know?
I think I can say from experience, working with many boards, and this is the only three-member board I've ever had the pleasure to work with, and when I say pleasure, I do mean pleasure, because I've worked with 2 7-member boards, but they're usually... Different segments of the population will find something with different board members, and those will be the board members that they will talk to. And so, you know, Don's been in this community for a while and has known a lot of people for a long time. Brisa knows different people. You know different. So depending upon who you know, the staff members that have, you know, come to you and drove you crazy over the years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and Brisa gets to work in the tax department and can't hide from it. So, I mean, there's just different, you know, but that's pretty common. I mean, you find that when you get on a board, you find out that and people feel that everybody has a little niche and that's what they go to them for. And so it is honestly pretty common. It's just kind of weird how they'll come to different people for different things, and they won't.
Well, here's the thing. My family has been in this area for 120 years in the mining industry. I know a lot of people. I've taught Pilates and danced in this area for almost 30 years. And so when I got in, I had to campaign my butt off. I didn't run unopposed. I ran up against several other people, which hasn't happened since then, by the way. And so I do know a lot of people, and I also am very objective, and I do go by the book. And I don't think the book is what covers my butt, because I know that I'm going to enforce it. And I was in law enforcement. I was a police officer for the Department of Public Service. It was the last job I had before my daughters. So I do believe in the law. And so I don't like saying, oh, okay, because I know you, I'm going to, you know, work my magic. I don't do that. And so I don't really like being dismissed why are people coming to me? I mean, I don't know. I don't understand where this is coming from. I thought everything was going pretty hunky-dory. I don't understand why I'm being ostracized and criticized for an opinion, because I do represent the taxpayers, but I also believe that our kids deserve a great education. But I don't think it's right if they're not old enough and they're immature. It's not against the children. They don't want to be held back, and they don't want to be struggling either, you know?
Okay. All right, Ryan, can we move on to the superintendent's report, please?
Yeah. Okay, so on the surveys that I gave you guys, I just want to point out a couple of things. There were 2 extra suggestions at the end. One of them, the question was, do you still have the incentives for students to do good in school during the school year? Is that still happening? No, it's not happening because it's illegal.
That was the gift cards?
The gift cards.
Yeah.
They're very illegal. We got into a lot of trouble for that, and no, we do not.
I remember those. Yeah,
okay.
I remember.
And field trips, obviously, they wanted to know about field trips, perfect attendance, and they wanted a gift card for perfect attendance. You can't do that either. We didn't do anything with perfect attendance last year because of COVID. None of the schools in our area did. Field trips, we did only very minimal field trips for a couple of science classes last year where we could have the kids spread out. Hopefully this year we'll be able to get back to field trips.
Instead of gift cards, can we, like, purchase something and then have it as a reward? Because it's not a actual gift card that they're going to go over there and possibly spend money on alcohol, for example.
Right. What we can do is we can have, like, I have these little keychains and globes, and we have these little bracelets and things, these little rubber band bracelets that they have sometimes, mm-hmm. and some other little real knick-knack chunk things. That when we do student in month and stuff like that, that's what we gave out. And we bought more for last year, but we couldn't do it last year.
Coins? Like in the military, they have there's a military tradition to have a coin, right? A challenge coin, yeah. Maybe order a bunch of those with the cardinal on it and. Words such as awarded for excellence or
they have
so
remember they had those little bracelets that had the little pins.
Yeah. I don't even want to tell you how much those pins and bracelets cost, but let's just say that if every kid got even a couple of them, they were spending $30 or $40 or $50 on each kid, and those were very expensive. So yeah.
And I threw them away.
Mrs. Elias came to me and she said, "Do you want to continue these?" And I said, "How much are they? What were they for?" And when she told me how much they were, there's no way in the world we're doing that. We just got dinged for the gift cards, and we're not. So it's the same with even gifts or like if administration, if I go to a show and they have anything that's worth more than $5, it's my job to bring it back and I give it away as a raffle or give it to somebody else. I can't accept it. It's a gift. So if it's more than $5, I can't accept it. So if we go and we spend money like that and we give it to the kids, I can tell you the auditors will troll us. And since we already got hit for that 2 years ago bad, I just wouldn't go down that road. So that's why we wanted to be able to do some field trips, go to Phoenix, go to that museum, the Desert Museum, Sonoran Desert Museum, and maybe the bias.
And those are better because it's like
because
we'll take.
We can pay for them,
okay.
But it's a learning experience.
Okay.
And it doesn't count as cash.
Okay.
But if we spend money and we give it to somebody, that's where we get in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
that's
more. This year, the eighth graders, we gave the tassels to. They got to keep them. They charge us $18 for that task. $18. That's rip-off. They're not gold. That's fake. That's plastic. But anyway, so we just have to watch what we spend on. And you can read all the comments yourself and see how each person rated. We had to have that done. The last thing that I have for you is the email that I got today. And if you go to the... sorry, Don, I didn't have this until today, but I have a copy sitting here for you.
Okay.
This is from Dr. Miller, who we get updates from, and this is about the COVID situation. And my guess is he does not come out and say it's the Delta variant, but the cases have doubled in the past week. The infection rate is up to over 1% right now. The positive tests are up to 4%. The age group that's getting the most cases is the 15 to 44. And only 35% of our people in the county have been vaccinated. So I bring this to you because I've had multiple people already ask me what's our plan for next year. And I don't know what our plan is for next year when we start. I'd love to say if you've been vaccinated, it's totally optional. I want to make sure we're safe and smart, but it concerns me because we have a different variable than many do, and I just want to make sure that we are smart. So I
thought the numbers were doing better.
They were until 2 weeks ago, Don.
Oh, my
God. And now the numbers are going back up, and 76% of the Douglas residents and 72% of the Bisbee residents have been vaccinated.
Oh, wow.
Sierra Vista is at 50%, and there are a lot of the other places that are lower. So until people, if they would get out and get vaccinated, it would help cut that down. And my big concern is right now the vaccines are for 12-year-olds and above, and I'm hoping that our kids get vaccinated. Because if at least our 12-year-olds and anybody older get vaccinated, that just puts more on campus that are. But we're still going to have a lot of people coming to school that are not going to be able to be vaccinated.
So, Tim, here's a question. I heard that there's a lot of parents that aren't vaccinating their kids for the typical MMR and so forth. Because then they don't even have to tell you why. It doesn't have to be religious convictions. So, literally, do we have kids? We have kids in our school that haven't had any vaccinations whatsoever, do we not?
No, every kid that we have, we've run through the state state vaccination site. So they cannot be here without the approval of the state.
So if we don't have kids, because I heard that you can't prove it. And I was just shocked by that.
Yeah, there are lawsuits that are out there for different things, and depending upon the state, my understanding in Arizona, there is no opt-out that is legal for public schools.
And we have one person that validates all of this.
It's all validated through Miss Elias sends all of it in, and it comes back to me. Yes.
Okay. And so it's verified through the state in addition to Missy Lewis looking at the documents?
I'm sorry, okay. Donna, I didn't hear that. What?
So Missy Lewis verifies it by the documents that she gets from the parents, and then we double verify it through the state that
The state has a vaccination site, and so they have every vaccination, every person's vaccinations are listed on there, so they verify the information that we get that we send in.
How do we do that when we have a lot of kids that come from across the line? How do we verify those that are there?
You know, it's just like you got your little shot record booklets, and we take pictures of that, and then we send that in, and then they cross-reference their records.
Just because they come across the line does not mean they're not U.S. citizens.
Well, no, I didn't say that. I'm just talking about verifying. You're being overly sensitive here. I'm talking about verifying the vaccines. If they reside across the line, they got the vaccines across the line.
Yeah. They could, but a lot of them, a lot of the people that are U.S. citizens come over and get all their up at either Chiricahua or...
County Health Department.
I wanted you guys to see this just because I've gotten the questions, and I don't know if you guys hear, but if you guys hear, I mean, we'll have to make a decision in July where we're at, but I think we need to keep an eye on this for a couple of weeks. If things keep going kind of crazy, I think it's probably an optional thing with the masks. I don't know how the teachers are. I know I have some teachers who just hated it because they felt they couldn't be close to the kids. Now, I believe all of our staff is vaccinated. Now, I don't know. We had plenty of them in 6 days to get shots.
I firmly believe in making it optional. We have the vaccine now. And if there's somebody out there that chooses not to get the vaccine, that's their own personal decision, and they just have to live with it.
Well, and that's where it's for me is we have a lot of very conservative parents. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see a bunch of kids not coming to school for another year. That's my only fear.
I think. The majority are gonna be in favor of that.
I think a lot of the kids will probably wear the mask. I think it's surprising, but a lot of those little buggers are really good with the masks. And those are the parents that are the most worried that I've heard from.
That's interesting.
Okay. Other than that, I just had those two things. I did want to mention that we do need to set up a special meeting on July 1st, and that July 1st is to approve the proposed budget that I included in your packet, and it will be about a 7-minute meeting, okay? I know my wife, she just doesn't give up.
About what did you say, 7?
It's a 7-minute meeting, so my question is...
In the morning or?
Well, that's my question. Oh. Morning or evening?
Evening.
Evening.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least for me, because that is a weekday. I'm going to be at the academy. And that.
Oh, yeah, you're going to.
Okay, so if we set it at 5:15, again, it'll be a 7-minute meeting, so we can have a couple people on the phone or whatever.
So it'll be July 1st at 5:15.
Okay?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Then... I believe this is right. If we need to correct it, we will do that on July 1st. But then we will need to set that's a Thursday, by the way. Then on July 8th, we need to have another 5 to 7 minute meeting to approve the proposed budget to send it to the state.
The adopted budget.
The adopted budget, I'm sorry. Approve the adopted budget at that point.
Same time, bracket 10.
So here was what I was wondering. If you want to do it in the evening, I am going to be gone on Friday. So if you want to do it in the evening, unless you're okay with me doing it on the phone as I drive back to Phoenix, because we're leaving, we rented a lake cabin for 4 days. So we're going to leave Friday morning at like 7 o'clock to get up to Sholo, if it's still there and not burned down after the fire that's going on up there. If we did it in the evening, if we could, I'd rather do it Wednesday night. Or if you're okay with me doing it not being here, I'm okay with doing it Thursday night as I drive. Otherwise, if we did it Thursday morning. So either Thursday morning or Wednesday night.
Well, why don't we just do it on Wednesday night?
If Wednesday night's okay, that would be wonderful.
Okay.
5:15 on Wednesday,
July 7th. Okay.
Now, if for some reason that's too soon to legally approve it, I'll shoot you an email, but I'll remind you on the first and we'll have to change the date.
Okay.
Okay.
And then regular meeting?
Regular meeting, I was looking at July 20th, Tuesday, 5:15. Does anybody have a conflict on the 20th?
The 20th of July at 5:15?
Yes.
No, I'm fine with that. 20th, 5:15, okay.
So what time does that put you at out there?
It's a three-hour difference.
8:15.
8:15.
Okay.
And you're okay with that?
And if Brees is running the meeting, they always go fast, so...
Yeah.
We'll do a 5-minute meeting.
Yeah, and 3-hour difference, and then I'll be in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. September, beginning of September, I will be going to Glencoe, Georgia. Yeah, and I think that's a 4-hour difference over there.
All right. So we'll just have to know when then.
So how long is that? Okay. How long are you going to be in your academy, plural?
I come back the beginning of November. So I should be here for the November.
When November to from July?
June, pretty much all of July, and July, August, September, October, and then come back November.
Oh, aye, aye, aye. Okay.
And then you need to...
And you're going to be able to do telephonic meetings
I'll take the computer.
The Zoom, okay.
He's got
Google Classroom set up, so it's like a Zoom meeting.
Versus our schedule, but
right.
Then he's off with duty at that time, apparently, because of the time change, right?
Yeah.
Right, gotcha. Okay, good.
Okay. All right, so... July 1st, 5:15 p.m. Sorry, I'm going to change that. I put a.m. It would be a little early for some of us. Not all of us, but some of us. July 7th at 5:15 p.m. And July 20th at 5:15 p.m.
And you will send me the break package via email?
I'll load everything up and shoot it all to you. You'll get it just like your packet. Mm-hmm. And you'll just be able to go right through page to page. Yep.
Okay.
And then that should be it. So the 7th, we'll approve the budget. The 1st, we'll approve the proposed budget. And there's not going to be any changes to it. There may be changes as far as rolling more money forward in the M&O than we are suggesting right now. We tried to underestimate our students a little bit to be conservative in that way. So ultimately, the only thing that should happen to our budgets is it should end up better than what our proposed budget says. We figured low on numbers, which means low on dollars. And so hopefully we get more students than we think. And... and then it means we have more money coming in. Good. And again, my goal is just that we have this district set. Whenever I am retired, that we're set to roll 3 or 4 more years, that you don't have to worry about cutting any programs. That's important to me. What we've added, I think, is this, what we need. So.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the cookies and the cake. I had 2 cookies and
the cake. So, Tim, are you going to email us the verified times and so forth?
I will. Yes, I'll shoot you out a copy of the minutes, but I want to double check and make sure Donna's going to check tomorrow to make sure we can still do that meeting on the 7th. If it's got to be more than a week difference, then we'll have to pick a different day.
Okay. Okay? I'm just kind of confused by the bottom line, so just let us know.
Okay. All right. All right.
So, with that, I would like to make a motion to adjourn at
7:44.
Oh,
Lisa, second?
I second.
All right.
Okay.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everybody.